Welcome to Fabulous Fiction Fridays. We're so excited that you've joined us for this awesome little escape. Your host is Darlene Poyer, and she brings a real passion for reading to this show. This show is all about having fun, expanding your reading horizons, and bringing a little joy to your day. And now, your host, Darlene Poyer.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on Fabulous Fiction Fridays. This next half hour is all about giving you an awesome little escape and a great way to start your weekend. My name is Darlene Poyer, and I'm the owner of Pages of Stories Publishing and publisher of Ficta Fabula Magazine, the best short story magazine on earth. I'm looking forward to getting to know you in the coming weeks and discussing all things storytelling. But if you have a few more minutes, before we get started on this story, I'd like to tell you something about me and why I'm doing this show. I grew up in a little town in the middle of nowhere, Manitoba, Canada. Gimli is a very strong Icelandic community, and the Icelanders that settled that community placed great importance on reading and writing. As the youngest of a large brood of children living in a place where there was an abundance of winter, my parents strongly encouraged reading as a worthwhile activity. In my house, there was an extraordinary amount of books on display. Each of us children had our own preferred genres, but crossovers happened. I'd share the entire Little House on the Prairie series of books with one sister while devouring the sleuthing of Encyclopedia Brown that belonged to my brother. In my house, there were Star Trek books and the Dune series, Harlequin romances, and books of political intrigue. There were medical books, political books, historical books, and the classics were well represented. We had two sets of encyclopedias and several dictionaries. There was a well-worn path between my house and the library, and I grew to love what stories did for me. From the time that the characters on a page put pictures in my head, I was hooked on stories. And those stories gave me an escape. They were my place of solitude. They were a place where I didn't have to be anything other than a witness to the drama and adventure that unfolded before my eyes. Books allowed me to share in the excitement of someone else's life without getting involved. Through books, I've been able to build cathedrals, fight battles, backpack through Europe, have phenomenal shopping sprees, solve crimes, and get into the underbelly of government machinations. I had a very busy childhood. I truly feel blessed to have the ability to sit down and get immersed in a totally fictional set of circumstances. It's fun, it's interesting, I learn a lot, and there is nothing I want more than to share these stories with you. But speaking of stories, our very first story comes to us from a fellow Manitoban in Alan Kalapar and is read by the ever-talented Andreas Zimmerman. When we come back from this short commercial break, you'll hear A Walk in the Woods.
This is Tenacious Living Radio Station, streaming from Calgary, Alberta.
Fabulous Fiction Fridays returns in audio format. For those that had enjoyed all those stories delivered right to your inbox, you can now enjoy them just by tuning in on Fridays. You'll listen to the awesome short stories by awesome authors, brought to you by Pages of Stories Publishing. A Walk in the Woods.
Come on, 11. Saying it out loud might make it happen. Robbie's boot was on the waterworks square, and if he rolled 11, he would land on Boardwalk. He would owe me $2,000 and finally be bankrupt. Robbie won the last two times we played Monopoly, and if he wins three in a row, he'll be unbearable. He managed to avoid both Boardwalk and Park Place nine times in a row. Nobody can be that lucky. He rolled a pair of threes that moved him to Pennsylvania Avenue. He owns that property and is safe. But since he rolled doubles, he has to roll again. Come on, five! I was louder this time. It worked. The die tumbled across the board, settling on a three and a two. We got pretty wrapped up in the game, and it got a little late. Actually, it got more than a little late. If I quit before someone went bankrupt, I would forfeit the game. Rules are rules. I was cutting it real close this time. My mom would not be impressed if I'm not home by 9 o'clock. I have about a half-hour walk, however, and I can be home in about 10 minutes if I take a shortcut through the woods. It's 8:45. Walking through the woods with my friends in the daylight is creepy. walking through the woods all alone is really creepy. Walking alone after dark is just plain stupid. I did it anyway. I said my goodbyes to Robbie and his mom. I like his mom. She makes the best chocolate chip cookies I have ever tasted. They're even better than my grandma's. They're really good when they come out of the oven. Robbie and I let them cool just a bit and then start inhaling them. We would eat the whole batch if his mom let us. I put my jacket, toque, mitts, and boots on. It's colder now than when I walked over. The snow that fell in the afternoon has crusted over a bit. The snow talks to me when I walk down the sidewalk. I know that means it's cold out. My grandpa told me to make sure I bundle up when the snow talks to me. By talk, he meant the creak I hear from under my boots when I step down. Listen for it next time you're walking outside in the cold. You'll hear it too, even with your toque on. It was weird walking to the corner. I seemed to be walking fast and slow at the same time. I was walking fast to get home and slow to put off entering the woods at the end of the street. I looked up at the sky. There were streetlights guiding me down the sidewalk. When I get to the woods, there will only be the moon. It's almost full. It actually looks kind of like my hockey coach's head. It even has the scar that's on Mr. Grant's forehead. It starts between his eyebrows and curves over his right eye. He told us he got hit by a puck when he was in college. He was lucky he didn't lose an eye. I wear a helmet and face mask to protect me when I'm playing hockey. There's nothing to protect me in the woods, though, and I'm only 3 houses away. I wish I had my helmet. I'm only 2 houses away from the corner now, and I can see just the edge of the woods. It looks okay from here. So far, so good. The moon is partly covered by clouds now, and it looks like Coach Grant is wearing a scarf. I hope he takes it off. The more light, the better. I'm passing the last house. My head is itchy under my toque. I shouldn't be sweating because it's so cold out, but I am. I'm at the corner. I take a deep breath. What's worse, getting grounded and missing hockey tomorrow, or cutting through the woods to get home on time? There can't be anything in the woods now that isn't there during the day, can there? I've made up my mind. The woods it is. I'm ready. I'm going now. My feet aren't so sure. They aren't moving. I take another deep breath. I stall and look at my watch. 8:52. I tell my feet to get going. There is no way I'm going to go through the woods and still get grounded. That would be really stupid. The first 20 steps or so are okay. I can still see, thanks to the streetlights that are disappearing behind me way too quickly. Pretty soon, it is just me and the moon. I look up to see him, and he's visible through a bunch of branches. A chill goes through my spine. I better keep going. Another 20 steps. I don't know why I'm counting steps, I just am. I can feel my heart beating in my chest. It is thumping real hard, and I'm not even running. I wish I had eyes in the back of my head like my mom does sometimes. I keep looking around, and everything is so still. I wonder, am I being watched? Rat-tat-tat-tat-tat-tat! Something right above me made that sound, real loud. I ran ahead a few steps and spun around. There's nothing there. Oh, my pulsating heartbeat was in my throat now. Rat-tat-tat-tat-tat! There it goes again. This time I can see him. It's a woodpecker, right up at the top of a maple tree, right beside where I was standing. I think he's laughing at me. I breathed a sigh of relief. I followed that with a real deep breath. My heartbeat is returning to normal now. I just need to relax and I'll get through here. I'm 12. I'm almost a man. I am a man. I start to turn, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw the shadow of an arm reaching out to grab me. Before I could move an inch, someone taps me on the shoulder. I screamed real loud, "Get away from me!" and whipped around real fast. There's nobody there. The tree branch I backed into was still swinging. I think the tree was laughing at me, too. I kept going another 20 steps, each one faster than the one before it. I could feel my heartbeat starting to get stronger and speed up again. I wonder if the story about the kid who went into the woods and never came out is true. I've heard the story around town a bunch of times. Each version is a little different, but in all of them, the boy goes in and doesn't come out. Some people say they've seen him, and others say they heard him. I don't want to meet him. Not tonight. I just want to go home. The light keeps changing as the clouds drift in front of the moon. The shadows are dancing all around me when the wind blows. I'm really deep in the woods now. There is no way I can turn back now, even if I wanted to. I think I'm going to be okay. I'm moving good now. I really need to pee. It's Robbie's fault. If his mom's cookies didn't taste so good, I wouldn't have ate so many, and I wouldn't have needed another glass of milk. I wonder if I can hold it. I have to go real bad. I can see just up ahead, there are some willows. I can stop and go there. Nobody will see me. No, nobody's in the woods with me anyway. But if there is somebody, I don't want them to see me pee. That's gross. I made it to the willows and undid my pants and started to go. The fresh snow is really white. I spelled my name. It's kind of funny. I'll have to show Robbie tomorrow, in the daylight. This will prove I went through the woods and I am not a chicken. I am a man. It's really quiet now. I'm standing still, getting dressed again, so even the snow isn't talking anymore. I can hear myself breathing. Or is someone breathing behind me? I look around and there's nobody there. At least, I can't see anybody. But I can hear them. There's someone in the woods with me. The snow is talking, but I'm not moving. It's getting louder. They're getting closer. I can hear each step closer and closer. I see eyes. My heart is pounding now. Boom, 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 harder and harder. I'm staring at a pair of eyes, and they are staring back at me. They're glowing in the moonlight. Why isn't he saying anything? He's only about 10 feet away now. He stops and then backs up a couple steps. He keeps staring at me the whole time. He's standing still. I'm standing still. He turns to run, and I see a silhouette. It was only a deer. Oh, I hate deer. Next fall, I'm going to be old enough to hunt with my dad. I know which deer I'm going to hunt. We'll see who's afraid of who then. I'm on my way again. I better hurry. Stopping to pee made me late. I better run. Not because I'm scared. I'm not. I'm a man. I start to jog, but it's pretty hard in boots. It's hard enough on a sidewalk, but in the woods, I can't watch where I step, or I'll get a branch in the head. If it's ever happened to you, you know it hurts, especially when it's this cold out. I got whipped by a branch real hard last winter. I cried, but I was just a kid then. I'm a man now. My boot caught a log hidden under the snow and I fell. I hit the ground real hard, too. My mitt got all full of snow. I landed on my knees and elbows. I avoided a faceplant, but I sure hope I didn't rip anything. Oh, I'm so going to be in trouble for my mom. I got up and checked myself out. I think everything is okay. It's pretty hard to tell, though. The clouds are completely blocking the moon now. I can barely see my hand in front of my face. It's really dark. I hope I'm going the right way. I start to go again, moving slowly with my hand out in front of me so I don't bump into anything or trip again. Once is enough. The clouds moved along, and I can see a little better again. The trees look like they're watching me. There are faces on them. The knots and stuff don't look like faces during the day. Why do they have to look that way at night? They are watching me. I know it. The whole forest is watching me. It's going to get me. Stupid Monopoly. If it wasn't such a fun game, I would have left on time and I wouldn't be out here. There's even more moonlight now. I look up to my left, but the moon isn't there. It's behind me. I must have turned when it was dark and I didn't notice. I know which direction I need to go, but if I don't walk straight, I might not come out on my street. I might have to walk by Stony Creek Cemetery. I'm not walking by Stony Creek Cemetery. I am not. I turn and keep walking. I can't stay here, so I best keep going. I'm heading west again. I know my directions. Dad taught me so I wouldn't get lost. I know how to use the sun, the moon, and a compass. I was the best in my class when we learned how to use a compass. Another 20 steps, and I still don't know why I'm counting. I'm so creeped out right now. What's that up ahead? I see light coming through the woods. It looks like headlights. I must be almost out. Yeah! Wait a minute. If there are headlights, there should be streetlights. Why is there a car in the woods? I duck down so they won't be able to see me. I snuck along out of the reach of the beam. They have their high beams on. It's really light in here now. I can see where I'm going real well. I'm moving pretty fast. I'm about 50 feet away from the car, but right alongside of it. I can only see the outline of it. It's a truck, a half ton. It looks like an old one. I've seen pictures of a 1966 Chevy. My dad has a wicked calendar with all kinds of classic cars. There's a different one for each month. The 66 Chevy has a white cab and red box. The box was lined with wood. It was so cool. This truck is shaped kind of like that. I've never seen a truck like that in person. I don't know how it got in the woods. I better go look. Maybe I'll recognize it and see if I can figure out where I am. I sneak a little closer. I hear voices. A man is talking to a boy. I can't quite make out what they're saying. I wonder if it's the boy who is never found. I'm looking straight ahead, and I'm only maybe 15 feet from the truck. I couldn't help letting out a small groan as I walked right into a fence. It's a black, rusty, wrought iron fence, just like the one that surrounds Stony Creek Cemetery. Oh, I hope they didn't hear me. They did. The man called out, "Who's there?" I didn't say anything. "Hello?" he called out again, louder this time. I still didn't say anything. I am not showing myself to a guy with an old truck parked in a cemetery at night. He probably takes kids and keeps them in the woods. They never see their families again. He might be a vampire. He might be dead. I saw that in a movie once. These guys rose from their graves and hunted people. I wasn't supposed to watch it. If Mom caught me, I would have been dead. "I said, who's there?" the man repeated louder, and he sounded angry now. Should I run? Should I hide? Should I answer him? I don't know what to do. The man started to come around the truck. I tried to duck down, but he reached over the fence and grabbed me by the shoulders. He yanked me up to get me standing, and then he bent over until we were face to face, only inches apart. He had a scruffy, unshaven face. He held his face so close to mine that his eyes were only an inch away. I could see the terror in my eyes reflected in his. His whiskers brushed against my cheek. They felt like a wire brush. His thumbs were digging into my shoulder so hard I wanted to scream, but I had no breath in my body. I was so tense I was trembling. I could feel my knees shaking. He was a large man, at least as big as a Sasquatch. He smelled like a Sasquatch, too. If I wasn't so terrified, I probably would have puked my guts out. He put his hands under my armpits and lifted me up over the fence. He was strong. It was no effort at all. I'm big for my age. I weigh 126 pounds, and he lifted me up like I pick up my cat. He started to put me down on the cemetery side of the fence. When my toes were barely touching the ground, he let go, and I fell on my butt. He grabbed me by my jacket and yanked me back up. He pulled me in front of the truck so he could see me in the headlights. I got a better look at him, too. He was ugly. He was missing at least a couple of teeth. The ones he has are all brown, and the two in front are chipped and jagged. Ugh, I hope he doesn't bite me. "Why were you watching me?" he demanded to know. His breath smelled as bad as the rest of them. I gasped when he spoke. His breath was so bad I gagged. I tried to get out a, "I wasn't," but I was too scared to speak. My lips moved, but nothing came out. "Answer me!" he sounded really mad. "I said, answer me!" he repeated and started to shake me. I fell down as we moved into the darkness, out of the glow from the headlights. I tried to stand up and walk backwards at the same time. I fell backwards and tripped over a headstone. I tried to get up to run. It was too late. He grabbed me again. I don't like being spied on, you little twerp, the man said in a low, deep voice before continuing on. What did you see?
I didn't see anything, Mr. Honest, I mumbled. I was grateful to have my voice back.
It doesn't matter anyway, laughed the man.
It was not a funny laugh. It was evil. Pure evil. He dragged me around behind the truck and up along the other side. He reached in the box and grabbed a shovel. He handed it to me and said, "Help him dig," while pointing to a boy who was busy digging in an open grave. The boy was sobbing. He's about my age, but I've never seen him before. His tears are freezing to his face. I couldn't see too much of him. The hole he was digging was already up to his chest.
"No way am I going in there," I said, to the man trying to sound tough, but knowing it was probably fruitless.
I was right. He pushed me backwards, and I fell in the grave. I knocked the other boy over. We were still laying down, tripping over each other as we tried to stand in the small space. I looked up and saw the outline of the man. I couldn't make out his features as the light from the headlights was behind him now. Looking up from the hole, all I could clearly make out was the glimmer of chrome on his pistol as he pulled a gun out of his shoulder holster and brought it up towards us. I scrambled back up against the other boy. Sasquatch was holding the gun in his right hand. I could see down the barrel, up his arm, and right into his eye. He had the gun pointed right at me. The man laughed the same evil laugh again. With his thumb, he cocked the gun. It sounded real loud. The rest of the world was silent. I closed my eyes. "Watch your elbows!" I woke up to Robbie's voice as he pushed me away from him. "The floor in here is huge. Why are you pushing me up against the couch?" Robbie's comments fell on my deaf ears. I was just glad to be in his living room. I called my mom when it got so late. She decided to let me sleep over at his place. We ate a lot of cookies. I shouldn't do that because they give me nightmares. But that's still better than walking home through the woods. That would have been stupid.
Wasn't that a wonderfully creative story? Even if you've never experienced snow or cold before, Alan Calipar does a fantastic job of making you believe you're right there watching it all happen. Reading isn't my only passion. I'm quite transfixed by the critters of this world, as my husband and I have been, and are, rescue parents to four of them. But one area that I'd not considered is the animals that are in the wild. As we encroach on land that they had inhabited, many wild animals are left struggling to survive. In Alberta, there is a wonderful organization that helps those critters out. Holly Duval from the Alberta Institute for Wildlife Conservation is here to tell us about this organization. Welcome, Holly. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So can you tell us about AIWC and what your goals are?
So the Alberta Institute for Wildlife Conservation, so AIWC, we are a non-profit charitable organization dedicated to taking in injured and orphaned wildlife. So that could be any wildlife from, you know, a baby moose to a hummingbird. We take these animals in. Every year we take over 1,600 animals and we take them in, rehabilitate them, and hopefully release them back into the wild.
Wow. So how many animals are in your care right now?
Right now, we have 165 animals in our care. So this is our peak season. Our peak seasons are typically June and July. So on any given day, we could have 100 to 300 patients every day in care. So right now, we have 165, but our numbers are increasing every day as well. So probably by mid-July, we should have around 300 animals in care if it's like similar years.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's a lot.
Do they all get returned to the wild?
Unfortunately not. A lot of the animals that we see, they have really severe injuries. So a lot of times if people are actually able to capture a wild animal, something is wrong with it. So a defense mechanism that they have is not to show that they are injured. So if someone actually is able to capture that animal, something is really wrong. So we look at it in thirds. A third are released, which is fantastic. They get a second chance going back into the wild. A third are unfortunately have to be euthanized after a full examination by our well-trained staff team. And then a third die in care, and that could be due to their injuries, you know, a multitude of reasons. So we look at it in thirds. We do have a relatively good success rate. But again, because of the patients that we're dealing with, they're very different from cats or dogs. They don't show when they're injured. They're very difficult to catch in the wild when they are injured. So they usually come to us in really severe condition.
Wow. So about what percentage get returned to the wild?
It's close to a 50% success rate. It really depends on the year. And it's hard to call, you know, to put a definite number on that because there are so many factors that go into that. You know, typically on a daily basis, especially in the busy summer, we will see animals with open fractures. So that's when the bones are protruding out of the body. The animal has typically been in that situation for a while, so we can't close up the fracture. So that's a routine thing that we see. You know, they could be emaciated, they could have been electrocuted, hit by barbed wire. There's so many different things that we encounter when the animals are brought to us that it's just impossible to unfortunately save all of them.
Wow. So what's the best thing to do if someone does come across an injured or orphaned wildlife?
If someone does come across injured or orphan wildlife, we first ask that they give us a call directly. So they can call us at 403-946-2361. And we're open every day of the year, including Christmas. And people can just call us before intervening. We want to give people advice. This is a time of year where a lot of animals are kidnapped so that they are, you know, wrongly taken by well-intentioned humans that, you know, see a baby hare, for example, a baby jackrabbit, think it's, you know, left alone by its parents and that it's been abandoned. And that's not always the case. So if people can give us a call before intervening, if we're closed, we have a lot of information on our website about what vet clinics people can take the animals to. We also have a lot of information on our answer machine as well. So give us a call first, and then we will direct the people what's the best thing to do for the animal, and if needed, bring it to our center.
Okay. So how can people get in touch with you to volunteer or help out financially?
Well, as a nonprofit, we definitely rely on donations. And the best way to get more information about us is to go to our website, which is www.aiwc.ca. And people can find out more about our history, what we do, the volunteer opportunities that we have, and then the ways that people can support us. There's numerous ways that people can support us. And yes, they can definitely get a lot more information on our website.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Holly. It looks like our time is up. Thank you, everyone, for listening in on Fabulous Fiction Fridays. I'm looking forward to being with you again next week for another great story. And my thanks to Crossfield Library for allowing me to use their facilities to record this today.
Are you interested in appearing on Fabulous Fiction Fridays? Are you an author that wants to reach a wider audience? Are you a business owner that would like to reach dedicated listeners? Please feel free to contact Darlene at info@pagesofstories.com or visit www.pagesofstories.com and leave a message.